Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
I'm always amazed. Hopefully, no matter how long you walk in the Christian life, no matter how long you've been a Christ follower, I hope testimonies like that just reignite something inside of you that gets you so fired up that it helps you to remember your own salvation. Because sometimes we can go through life and we forget that passion, that fire, because life is hard, life gets us down, life really tears us up. But when you see stuff like that, it helps you to go, and yeah, that's why we do what we do. That's why we spend the time that we spend the time reading and in prayer or helping at the church, serving, setting up things, doing whatever. It's because God is an awesome God who has changed us, who has saved us when nothing else could. That is why this is such a special day. And that's also not in my notes. Sorry, I'm just fired up and I'm trying to type it back in. We're talking about seasons. And seasons in life, and with, like I was just saying, there are different seasons in life that shape us and that mold us and make or break us. From the clothes we wear, right? There's a season for every clothing, which, by the way, I would have been super in style right now in my high school years. I wasn't, but I thought ahead 27 years, apparently, because now I look at what the kids are wearing, I'm like, oh, I was mocked for that. Should have kept it. But we go through these things, these seasons in life where, like nature, our lives seem to move through seasons. The big idea for this series, the thing that I want you to understand and grasp and really take to heart during these 4 weeks is that in every season, no matter what season you're in, God is present. God is speaking and God is working. That you can be sure of. And when we learn to pay attention to those seasons, we will find that every one of them has purpose, great purpose for our lives. It shapes us into who we're going to be. And every different season offers another level of transformation. Last week we looked at winter, right? Cold, quiet, sometimes lonely season of winter that we walk through in life. Those seasons where God feels distant, where life feels barren or painful. Those are all true things, and we all experience that. The amount of conversations I had this week alone about people with people who are in winter seasons, because we all go through them, and they're hard. But here's what you have to understand, and what we tried to convey last week is that in those winter seasons, that's when God can grow the roots of your faith deep. If you're willing to embrace those difficult moments, you're willing to take those moments as opportunities for growth and cling to God in the midst of them. But be assured, listen, cold, dark winters will give way to spring. No matter how deep or dark or painful the winter is in your life right now, spring will come. Spring with its fresh hope, its new beginnings, and its spiritual renewal. That is what is coming. Now, last week I asked you to identify what season you're in, and I hope you did that. Because it is important for us to pay attention to that tension, to determine what season we find ourselves in so that we understand how we can better grow through them. This week, we're going to talk about spring. This week, we're going to look at those new subtle beginnings that God is bringing you out of a cold winter. And here's what I want you to know this week. If you don't find anything else helpful, if you fall asleep or if you have to leave, whatever the reason is, this is what I want you to understand today, that God is doing something new. Don't miss it. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, pay attention to it. Because spring is a time for awakening. It's time for growth. It's time for fresh beginnings, right? There's something about spring that makes people feel hopeful, especially here in Michigan, because you've just been beat down forever, it seems like, until that thaw starts to happen. And you see that grass go from that dingy brown to all of a sudden it starts turning green. And you just feel, oh, something's changing. For me, what I would love to see are the birds that start coming back, right? When you can start putting that bird feed out. And then the different kinds of birds, not just those stupid house sparrows. They're here all the time and they eat all your food. They're ridiculous. No, I want the good-looking birds that come up from the south. House sparrows, they appear to like just thrive during winter. But I love seeing those birds come back. When the hummingbirds come back in, I get so excited. Probably too excited. And then what I've also noticed, especially people around here, when spring comes, man, you love to fire up those lawnmowers as soon as you can. As soon as you're like, hey, that blade is not level, start getting that thing going. It is a national holiday nearly, right up there with Hunter's Day, whatever, Openings Day. Hunter's Day. I think that's what we should call it. In Texas, for me growing up, especially when I was coaching, spring meant it was time for football. It was time to lace up the pads, get the kids out there for about a 6-week block of time where we could start preparing for the next season, because everything in life in Texas is football, okay? And so spring, once that cold thaw week stopped, we started thinking about spring football, and we started planning for it, and we started preparing for it. We got all the equipment ready, and we were ready to make sure everybody was ready for it. And I remember, it got me to thinking when I started thinking about football. My first year at Magnolia High School, I was a freshman football coach. And when I got hired on, we were terrible. I mean, we had not won a game in like 3 years. And the coaching staff that was there was beat down. All they talked about was, well, you know, back in my day, we had this team, these horses that could play. We just don't have the horses right. That's how they sounded too, by the way. I would tell the name of the person that I was imitating, but I can't. He could be watching. Hi. But I was coaching this freshman football team, and I would go into the locker room or the coach's office, and I would hear just beat. They were in a winter season of football. They were everything was negative. Everything was horrible. But I was watching this freshman football team, and they had talent. They had hunger. They had passion. And I remember thinking, now there's something different here. And with that freshman football team, they started winning a little bit. But the head coaches, the head coaches, the important coaches, the varsity coaches, they didn't see it. They didn't pay attention to it. All they could think about was how they just couldn't win a game. So they're trying all different types of schemes, and it's not working. And guess what? At the end of the year in Texas, if you don't win, you get fired. So the coaching staff that brought me in got fired, and that was nervous for me because I was a first-year coach, and I was thinking, well, I might get fired too, but the Lord watched over me. I got to stick around, and they brought in a new coaching staff who had a fresh attitude and mindset, and they saw the talent in that freshman class that was coming along. And by the time that freshman class was seniors, they had made a deep run into the playoffs, and it was exciting. But that old staff had missed it. They had missed the small, subtle things that were happening in the freshman level because they were so mired in the losing season at the varsity level. And that's the way that spring in our lives comes about, is that it's often very subtle. Spring starts in a very small way. The whispers of the new, but the surety that there is something fresh coming. And in our spiritual lives, spring is very similar. God is starting something new where he might be bringing clarity after a confusing season, or maybe he's bringing some hope in your life after a time of despair. Or maybe it's direction finally after months and months of waiting for some opening or some door to happen. But here's the thing. Spring doesn't come in with trumpet blasts very often. You guys know that's true, right? A lot of times in spring, you get false spring where the sun comes out and it warms up to like 60 and everybody loses all their layers and puts shorts on. And then the next day, it's 20 again. And you're like, what's happened? Everybody gets mad and angry, but they keep the shorts on. I don't understand that. I'm still wearing long sleeves. I am wearing long sleeves. I'm wearing two shirts right now, a jacket and a long sleeve shirt. I love it. Spring doesn't come with like this big, gigantic fanfare. It often starts very small, like a seed, with a small stirring. And unless we're paying attention, we might just miss what God is doing in that spring season. Unlike nature, the start of our spring in our lives, in our spiritual lives, it takes letting go of what was, right? Nature, whether there's a fall spring or not, spring is coming, right? The rotation of the earth, rotation around the sun, all that stuff, which I don't understand fully, is happening. But for us in our own lives, for spring to really take hold, we have to be willing to step out of the winter. Unfortunately, though, we sometimes allow that darkness of winter to really hold on. And even when that season might have passed, we hold on to it because it's what we're used to. It's because it's what we feel like. And we don't let go of that old season to embrace the new season that's coming. It's what happens when we become depressed, or that spiral of negativity that causes us to never see spring. That's not of God. That's of the deceiver who wants to keep you in that terrible season. And we see evidence of that throughout Scripture as God speaks with his people, right? And we're going to look in the book of Isaiah today as God is speaking to his people, Israel. And Isaiah the prophet is prophesying about something that's going to happen some 100 years in the future as he talks about the release from captivity, right? Israel is about to walk into Babylonian domination. They're about to be in exile for quite a while. And Isaiah is prophesying on the other side of that. They're walking into a winter, and he's talking already about the spring, specifically to those in Judah or southern Israel. They're being put in exile because they have rebelled against God. They have not listened to him. And as that was the case when they were captive in Egypt, God is assuring them that he will rescue them again, but it won't be without pain. And we see in Isaiah 43, if you want to go ahead and turn there, that God is reminding them of the past miracles, the deliverance that he provided in the land of Egypt, from the land of Egypt, by parting the Red Sea, by giving softening Pharaoh's heart long enough for them to get out of there, and then protecting them and providing them throughout the chase that ensued, and then along to the wilderness afterwards. These are all the greatest parts of their history. But then he says something that feels incredibly shocking in verse 18. He says, but forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. That's an incredible encouragement. Because he's saying, hey, forget about all the ways that I saved you out of Egypt. Forget about that Red Sea thing, which was unbelievable. Or the way that I provided for you in the desert. Or the way that we got into the promised land. All of that was awesome, but guess what? It's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. It's not that wasn't important. It is. It should be. We should remember those things because it helps us to understand how God is faithful. But it also, what God wants us to understand is that he wants us to just have more and more faith and confidence in who he is. Again, like my football coaches, a lot of times in life, we start talking about the good old days, right? As we're in the middle of something, we talk about, well, in my day, everything was unbelievable and God was moving throughout. Now this, you know, culture has run away from God and all those things. And everything is negative. We start thinking about all the things that we used to do in the past. And we go, if we could just get back to that. And I feel like a lot of times God is saying, hey, forget all that. Guess what I'm about to do? He's going to do something even greater. This message could be just for us as well. He's good right now. But a lot of times we hold on to all of those old things and we don't see what the new spring that's coming up right around us. Because if you stay stuck in the past, whether it was glory or whether it was pain, you're going to miss what he's doing right now. Spiritual spring, it requires us to let go and to look forward, to let go of bitterness, to let go of old assumptions, to let go of shame. I asked Jake to do a special today called Let It Go, but he said no. He said, that's a joke. I just thought of it because I said let go so many times. I know there's some of you that are like, oh, I would love to see him sing that song and maybe dance around like a bunny. Sorry, that's not fair. Let go of whatever version of spring you might be instead of seeking God on what's next. Because the past should shape you and it should not limit you. So what are you clinging to? What is it that's holding you back from seeing spring in your life? Look for what God is doing right now in your life. And rest assured, he's not distant. He is near and active in your life. Even when it seems like everything around you is dry and dead, God is always working in us, planting something new within us. But the real question is, are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to that new around us? Look in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. He says, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. What an incredible picture of spring. God is making a way where there wasn't a way before. In fact, if you look at the verse 19 in the ESV, it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? See, God brings life to places that we thought were dead and finished. He awakens the dreams inside of us that we might have buried long ago. And he gives hope to us when we had settled into despair. And the truth is, it's understandable because despair is what we deserve. That's what we've earned. Like the Israelites, we deserve destruction. We deserve punishment. And yet God looks ahead to our restoration when we are ready to accept all that he has already done for us. For us in 2025, that is Jesus. He has sent his son, Jesus, to die in our place to pay the penalty that we owed so that we might have new life in him. Just like we just witnessed. But restoration often starts small. And if I can be honest a minute, I'm always honest, but it's an expression that I don't know why I say and I wish I didn't. I love movies. I love watching movies. I like to think of myself as in a movie. I don't know why, especially superhero movies. Okay? I have caused great harm to myself thinking that I might be a superhero hidden deep inside. And so I jump out of a tree or I do something like that when I was a kid. It's something that has been with me forever, still has it in there a little bit. But one of the things that I love about movies is that there's always this amazing thing that happens, right? Whether it's an incredible superpower or just, you know, in a rom-com. I was going to say, yeah, you're right. I had to say it right. One of those movies that's a feel-good Hallmark movie, okay? Where everything just turns out wonderful in the end, and you're like, oh, and you're like, that's what I want my life to be. Some big grand speech that just sweeps me off my feet. All right, don't say anything. All right? No, whatever. I get emails. But the point is, I expect my life to follow that similar theme. And when you just look for the incredible events in life, you miss the little signs that God uses most of the time. Because rarely the first sign of spring is something outrageous. God does his best work in unlikely places. And we need to embrace that. We need to embrace the new thing that God is stirring within us that maybe we've ignored because we just think it's not big enough. I need something bigger to take me out of this winter. But if you know Christ as Savior, he has created something brand new inside of you. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And this verse is not just poetic fluff. It is spiritual reality in all of us. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation, not just cleaned up, not just improved, brand new. The old is gone, not going, gone. But a lot of us live like we're still stuck in winter in our old life, and we carry this guilt that has already been forgiven. And we beat ourselves up. We act like that old self is still in charge. But God says, that's not who you are anymore. I have changed you from the inside out. And it's time to step into the spring of your new identity. You're not who you were. You are who Christ is making you to be. Being a new creation changes everything. Your identity, your purpose, your direction in life, your goals, everything that you have. So why are we still living like our old self? The things that were holding us back that we turn to Jesus to remove. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. He says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Last week we talked, we used a verse from 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter talked about how God opposes the proud. We have to humble ourselves under his mighty power so that at the right time he will lift us up. He tells us to stay alert, to watch out for the great enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion. Peter knew this, and he encouraged us for this because he lived it, right? He knew of the bitterness of winter, the tendency that it has to stick with you, right? Peter, right before Jesus went to the cross, told him, I'll never deny you. I love you. And I will stand beside you and fight for you until death, until right after he denied him three times and ran away. But then after the resurrection, what do we see? In John chapter 21, we see Jesus meeting Peter and the disciples on the shore, and he cooks breakfast for them, and he provides a huge catch of fish after they had been unsuccessful in finding fish all night long. And when Peter recognizes Jesus on the shore, he does what Forrest Gump did. He just jumps off the boat. We just watched that last night, two nights ago. And he swims to him. And he comes to the shore, and he's so excited. And what we see in Jesus' response is amazing. He doesn't shame him. He doesn't scold him. He restores him. Look with me in John chapter 1, verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. The significance of the three questions is pretty clear. It was a reminder to Peter of his previous denials. And Peter was hurt not because Jesus was bringing it up, but because it was the recognition that he had truly messed up. He knew that Jesus knew. And yet, Jesus' message to Peter was that of forgiveness and restoration. He gives him a new start, not despite his failure, but through it. Through his failure, Jesus gives him a new start and brings about spring. That's spiritual spring in our lives. Not pretending that winter never happened, which is our tendency. That's our natural move. But allowing God to grow something new where death once lived. Don't miss that moment in your life. God is doing something new right now. And maybe you don't see it clearly yet. Maybe the ground still feels really cold. But you need to let go of that. Let go of what was and watch for what God is doing right now. Step into who he's made you to be. And I have three ways for you to do that this week. Three ways that I want you to take your next step with God. The first way is this. Spend some time in Isaiah 43 this week. Read it. It's not just Old Testament history that is not applicable for today. It is a reminder of who God is, the faithfulness that he has offered and shown over and over again, not just to his people, but to you as well. And especially pay attention to verses 18 to 21 and ask God to show you what new thing he might be doing in your life right now. Pray that God would give you eyes to see it. Ask him to see what he's doing in this season and then have the courage to step into it, to let go of what was. The second thing I want you to do is identify what's holding you back. A lot of us have things in our life that we hold on to, whether it's guilt, bad decision, whatever it is. And it holds us in a state of winter where we're not allowing God to do something new inside of us. Maybe it's a regret. Maybe, who knows, maybe it's a hurt. I don't know what it is in your life, but I know that God wants you to let go of it, to surrender whatever that old thing is that's holding you back and walk into that new spring that he has for you. And then what I want you to do, maybe you're in that spring right now. Maybe you are so excited about what God is doing because he has just carried you through this winter. Share it with somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. Share with someone about that spiritual renewal that you've seen, that fresh growth that you've had recently. Share it with somebody because encouragement is contagious. You could change someone's entire day by talking about something amazing that God is doing in your life. And it'll help them to see that little thing that might be in their life. So don't hold it inside. We talk about everything else that we're excited about, whether it's the weather or mowing our grass or football, whatever it is. So share that story of how God is working in your life and watch how he changes the conversation, how he changes the person that you're talking to, and how he changes you. So wherever season you're in right now, I want you to pray for spring, to wait for it, but to be on the lookout. Because it's coming. And God doesn't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Because he's doing something amazing in this place. And we need to take full advantage of the greatness that he's offering. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for spring. We thank you for the renewal, the fresh blooms of life after a hard winter. God, I pray that in the lives of each person here, as they walk through winter in different seasons of life, Lord, that you would grow their roots strong so that spring would be so much more full. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus, you give us new life. The old is gone and the new has come. You've changed us from the inside out. And Father, I pray that we would never forget that, that we would maintain that passion that we saw today in these baptism testimonies, that we would remember and be encouraged. I pray for opportunities this week to share our story, to share the things that are happening in our lives with the people around us so that they might be encouraged. God, you are a good God, faithful and true. We thank you so much for all that you do for us, and above all for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.